The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Ooh, good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Well, the votes are tallied. You've made your choice. It's Ben and Woods in the morning. Right here on 97.3 The Fan. I got my shirt on right now. Ben and Woods, San Diego's choice, 24. That's it. It's the only vote that mattered. Your favorite morning show. And we're here for you today. Hope you're having a good start to your Wednesday morning. Got a cotton candy sky outside right now. It is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Right over Paul E. Reindl, who's the executive producer, right over his shoulder. It's my favorite looking sky. The light blue and the pink cotton candy clouds, just beautiful out there. Just a reminder, you know, that everything's going to be okay. And we're all in this thing together, right, at the end of the day. So I am Woodsy. That's Paul Reindl, as I just mentioned. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Paulie had a basketball game last night. Almost won. Lost by two. Tough one. Playing against a ringer, though, which happens. It happens.
It's a guy we've played before. He plays on another team in another level.
They bring him down play.
He says after the game, he told one of my other guys,
Sorry, homie.
Hey, I'm only here this week.
We're like, yeah, I bet.
Fantastic.
Very cool.
You're very good.
Isn't that cheating?
No, it's no. It's there's gray-ish
areas. You submit a roster, but
yeah.
Yeah. It's not in the spirit of the competition.
No, it's definitely not in the spirit of competition, certainly. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. I saw a post on Facebook when we were playing in our adult baseball league. And one of the managers from the other team posted, hey, we need a college-level arm or two because we want to beat the Ben and Woods baseball team. And I died laughing, dude. This other team, they've never beaten us. Every time we face them, we beat the crap out of them. And he literally was like, you must be college level or minor league experience. You will be playing against the Ben and Woods baseball team.
See,
you know,
that's a compliment.
Ben and Woods from the radio.
If I knew that this basketball team last night,
like, I want to beat Paulie.
Searched somebody and said, we have to beat the tier ones. We need, you know, you had to have played college basketball. I'd be like,
all right.
That feels pretty good.
It felt pretty good, and they still didn't beat us. So I don't know that they got the college arm that they needed, but it was a lot of fun. Benny, how are you, buddy?
I had a pretty useless night last night, as I expected. Did not ever make it onto the air with any sports segment. So
you drove what hour to work?
Yeah,
sat on your ass from when to when?
I was there from about 3:15 until only about 9:30.
And that's not bad.
Home. Yeah,
9:30 is not bad.
I taped a morning sports segment. Not sure if that ran this morning or not, but did enjoy our election night spread. That is a tradition in newspaper newsrooms, TV newsrooms across America. They always put out a really good food spread on election night, and last night was no different. I mean, I feel a little guilty, like just sitting there eating all the food when I'm not really doing any of the work. But there was plenty. It's not like I didn't leave any for anybody else. There was probably 30 pizzas, big trays of pasta with shrimp, which surprised me. But it was actually good. It was like a Creole, like pasta.
Hold on.
Big Caesar salad,
was brought
rolls.
In, brought in from somewhere.
Catered from somewhere, yeah.
Okay, not a potluck.
Because
no,
not a potluck.
You wouldn't have eaten it.
No, catered, real meal that that they have for everybody.
Now, and, it's not like, so here's the thing. It's not like your colleagues were fighting a fire and you're standing off to the side just eating shrimp pasta where they like they finish fighting the fire and they're like, sure could use some pasta, but old old Benny's over here sucking it down.
No, I mean, yeah.
Like so. You said, there's plenty to go around. It's like when we do the round table here at 97.3 The Fan, when we do the round table, they would bring in several pizzas and salads and wings and cookies. Well, we're all doing the round table, and all the salespeople are coming in eating the pizza. And it's kind of a bummer because when you get to the end, you're like, oh, cool. You did just leave one piece of veggie pizza that has cauliflower and broccoli on it and artichokes, which are repugnant. And that's what I get to choose from. Enjoy the rest of your day.
The way I justified it to myself is the rest of you weren't sitting in a parking lot at Dodger Stadium after Game 5 until, you know, 11:45 at night with no food.
That's true.
Like, I was sitting there for hours getting ready for my live shot. So this is my day to just kind of enjoy myself while you guys all work and cover what was going on last night.
No, it's absolutely true. I wanted to take this moment to wish a very, very happy birthday to my son, Taylor, who has turned 4 years old today. What a There he is. What a sweet, sweet little baby. He FaceTimed me this morning. He was up at 5. Now, Hannah has laid out all the presents and stuff. Hannah really does a bang-up job with this. I walked out this morning, and I go, wait, there's balloons, there's streamers, his presents are laid out. And I said, well, what about me? And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, he's going to come out and, like, you guys are going to have a birthday party at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to be at work, and there's nothing I can do. And she's like, yeah, sorry. And I said, well, so I pulled one.
Sucks.
Yeah, sucks. Sucks to suck, I guess. So I pulled one of the presents, the big one, and I pulled that out. I said, can we save this for later? Because he wants, you know, you don't want to open all your presents. It's not Christmas morning. Like, you could have your birthday party later in the day.
Wrong. He does want to open all
of
them.
Yeah, I don't think he has any qualms about getting them all open as fast as possible.
So Hannah was in the bathroom getting ready, and then she heard him skedaddle out. I call him the leprechaun. So he sneaks out. He leprechauns his way into the kitchen, sees all his stuff. She walks out at 5:08. He's opening up his presents. There's nobody there. So, which was great. But man, crazy how fast 4 years have gone by. I remember it like it was yesterday. You guys were on the air. I was at the hospital with Hannah, scheduled C-section, and we had that little guy pop out. And boy, he was really good for about the first year. And now, you know, he's trying to find his way as the little brother. And I asked him the other day, because Hannah told me, she said, he doesn't like babies or like smaller children. I go, what are you talking about? She goes, the younger kids at school, he can't be bothered. He's like, uh-uh, I don't talk to you. I don't talk to babies. So I asked him the other day, I go, Taylor, I'm not saying this would happen, but what if mommy and daddy had another baby and you would be a big brother? He goes, no. I go, why not? He goes, no, I don't like babies.
What if Bo had the same feeling and didn't want to talk to you because he didn't want to talk to babies and thought you were a baby? Maybe if he empathized, you know, like he could be in that same situation as younger children.
Does anyone on the planet, can anyone decipher what he just asked me?
I couldn't follow that.
You couldn't follow that.
All right, Bo.
Bo thought Woods was a baby.
No, so if Bo thought like Taylor did, and if Bo didn't want anything to do with Taylor.
He didn't.
Oh, okay.
He did not at all. It's that moment when you're a parent and you have another child. And I do this for sure. I play it up in my head, this beautiful reunion when you come home from the hospital. And your oldest is like, he's been practicing with a little baby, how to be a big brother. We've been telling him what's expected of him. And then you bring the baby in and you want this magical moment where your oldest is like, oh, I'm so happy to see my little brother. Dude, he looked at Taylor like when I handed him Taylor, he looked like I handed him a turd, like a dog turd, and said, here, cuddle this. And he was so upset by it. And it took a while for the ice to melt. And but now, best of friends and the best of enemies, and beat the crap out of each other on the daily. But man, 4 years, just like that, dude. You guys remember, man. Both my kids have grown up on this show, and they're watching right now. So I love you.
Your first day at the old station, the first time I met you, Bo was like maybe a month old.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe a month
maybe.
Old.
So he's grown up. Our audience has grown up with these guys.
You and I and Ben, we like got work done. We didn't even have a show yet.
Yeah.
And then Hannah pulled up at the end, brought baby Bo in her little bassinet or whatever. And yeah, he was maybe a month old.
Tiny.
And then 4 years ago.
Yep. And then Taylor born.
Taylor. Crazy.
It's just nuts, man. It really does. You know, everyone always says don't blink. And it's crazy. And he's just such a little human now, and is funny and independent.
It's been so fun. Just look, honestly, like super, super serious. It has been a joy to watch both of them grow up.
Thank you. That really has. For us too, man. Ben doesn't feel the same about Taylor at least, but it's fine. He's really a sweet boy, man. He's a sweet, sweet boy. Oh, so I went in yesterday to his class and did my presentation.
Oh, voluntold. Yes, that's right. You had to give a 30-minute presentation on being on the radio.
Walk in. Now,
give us some highlights.
I will. So they said, it's 10, be there at 11. And I said, okay. Well, I was in the parking lot at 10:30, sitting, waiting. So I figured, all right, we'll split the difference.
There's here. No green room for
There's
you.
No green
room.
Just sitting there going, oh, God, I got this. I'll do this, man. So no green room.
Nobody's banging on your Mr. Woods, ready in five.
So I was in the car and I went, oh no, I have to pee. Now, can't just walk into an elementary school as a grown man and say, where can I urinate? Okay? So I really had to think this thing through. So I was like, I'm gonna go into the offices first, handle my business. Because they all have toilets and like bathrooms in the classrooms, and the classrooms are kind of connected. But the toilet, they're little kids.
Yeah. Yes.
I can't walk in there and be like, how we doing? You know, like there's laws against that for good reason. And I'm happy that it is that way. So I go to the offices, handle business, walk in. So I'm 15
Even
minutes
the stalls,
early.
I would imagine.
Oh,
like the toilets
tiny.
Are all super low to the ground.
Yeah, because these kids are little. So I walk in and they go, oh, you're a little early. And I said, yeah, I'm always a little early. And they said, well, right in the middle of cleanup. So they were cleaning up. And then I went over and they put me on one of those chairs that's super teeny tiny. So I'm sitting there with my legs up. And I'm like, hi, I'm Taylor's dad, Steven. And I do a radio show called Ben and Woods. Does anybody listen to the radio? My dad listens to the radio. All right, great. I said, does anybody like baseball? I like baseball. All right. Can you name any Padres? Yeah, hand up. Name a Padre. I'm like, have you ever heard of Manny Machado? Yeah, Manny Machado. Okay, great.
This is Manny Machado.
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
It's Fernando Tatis Jr.
So they're sitting there, and then you start to talk. So yeah, this is what we do. We interview the players, and my dad likes to go to the blah, blah, blah. They just start yelling stuff out. So I tell them, listen, a little bit, I said, I don't know how long, radio's going to be around. I don't know that you're going to, have an opportunity to really embrace local radio. I said, but this is what we do. This is who I am. This is our show. It's called Ben and Woods. And I played him a little clip of Taylor punching the songs. And it did say nuts in the thing. It said nuts in the audio. And I saw the teachers give each other this knowing stare like, oh boy.
Oh, here comes the shock jock.
Here comes Howard Stern shock jock in here talking about nuts to little kids.
Well, they just know they repeat everything they hear.
Correct.
So they're going to hear it the rest of the day at least, if not all year long, if it really catches fire.
It was the whole presentation, all in, soup to nuts, was about 4 minutes long. So I go, all right, well, see you guys later. Here's some stickers. The one kid goes, I don't want one. I was like, I don't care. I don't care if you want it or not. Take it. Then they start, can you help me open this? No, please don't open the sticker at school. Save it. Put it on your water bottle. Give it to your parents. Make sure to tell your parents to listen to Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. And if your parents are sore, they need to check out QC Kinetics, maybe SD Fat Loss, try to get some plugs in for us. But, I looked at those teachers and I went, how do you do it? How in the world do you come in here every day and deal with 14 or 15 of these little turds? I can't even imagine. I think about how hard it is to do with one or two. And all the credit goes to them. They're phenomenal people. But yeah, knocked that out of the park. Taylor was very happy. And happy birthday to you, buddy.
I'm glad you made it through.
Yeah.
5 minutes sounds better than 30 minutes.
There's no way I had 30 minutes in me. No way. Let me tell you guys about how ratings work, okay? So here's the deal. Here's how you do. If your ratings are good, you're on top of the world. If they come down a little bit, it's time to change everything.
All right, so it used to be called the program director. Now
it's a brand manager. Yeah.
So when we get an endorsement spot, they send us copy through a system called VCreative.
But now, the copy's never good.
Never good.
It's
we
never
always have
good.
To make it our own. They're always telling us to make it spooky if it's Halloween time, or make it festive around Christmas. I mean, just don't get me started, kids.
Yeah, Taylor, put your own spin on it.
Yeah, Taylor, make it spooky. So it was great, man, and I'm looking forward to a birthday celebration today. We're going to do one tonight. We're going to do one Friday. You know how we do it. Should be really great.
The Padres have elected to give Mike Shildt another term in office.
Indeed.
We will definitely be talking about the news that, not official, but probably later today, will be announced by the San Diego Padres. A 2-year contract extension for the manager. We'll talk about that and much more. Set the menu for today's program, including the special guest coming up in our 7 o'clock hour to tip off college basketball season. It is all ahead. Thank you for joining us this morning again. We love our community. Everybody in our community, you're always welcome. Glad to see you all this morning. With Paul, with Woods and Ben, here's Kelly's traffic on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're running it back, huh?
What do you mean?
The skipper, Mike Shildt, obviously.
Two more years.
Yeah, 2 more years. Running it back. The skipper, Mike Shildt.
Getting a full 4-year term now, including this past season. This year, and then the 2 years tacked on to his deal. Still unofficial, but widely reported, first by the Union Tribune and now by The Athletic as well. But Mike Shildt and the Padres are finalizing a 2-year contract extension, and we will talk about what that means for the San Diego Padres. I mean, ultimately, you know, it means that not much is going to change going forward, and I think that's a good thing, Woods. You know, you want stability and continuity. The question is, will Mike Shildt be able to keep it up after the first season? We saw Bob Melvin had a terrific first year with the San Diego Padres, leading them to the National League Championship Series. Does not guarantee success in your second season.
No.
Jace Tingler took the Padres to the playoffs in his first season as manager. Did not guarantee success in his second season as manager.
They're absolutely... If you're looking for guarantees in the game of baseball, I can't offer you many. I mean, I just can't. I cannot guarantee you anything other than they will play 162 games next season. That's about as much as I can guarantee you. I do think that will be his challenge. But I think Bennett will also be the challenge of every single manager. Yeah, it's Dave Roberts' challenge as well. Hey, how do I keep my guys motivated this year after winning that title and grinding so hard? And do they want another one? That's going to be Tori Lavullo's challenge. You know, you lose players, you add players. You got to make sure those guys are a fit. So, listen, continuity here is ultimately a great thing. We've been a show almost 7 years, and we've cycled through four managers since we've been here. Fernando Tatis Jr.'s had four managers. Manny Machado's had three managers. This is good. This is ultimately a good thing. And, you know, whatever it was last year that Schilt was selling, the players were buying it. And it drove us crazy. I can tell you that right now. There were times it drove me. I wanted to beat my head against the wall. We would talk to Schilty and say, what are you, like, are you gaslighting me right now? I know what I saw last night. That wasn't good. No, it was fine. But it wasn't. I know that was bad base running. No, it was good base running. You're right. Like, he always had his players' backs. And I think after a time, about 3 months into the season, I go, all right, well, I'm going to quit asking him because I know he's not going to, like, he's got his players' backs. And that's just how he is. So you adapt to it.
Well, I agree with you on continuity. It is undervalued, usually in sports, you know.
Big time.
Fan bases tend to demand change when things don't go well, understandably so. But the organizations that tend to be the most stable, I always think of the Pittsburgh Steelers first, tend to have more long-term success than the ones that constantly cycle through general managers, managers, coaches, and just making changes all the time.
Dallas Cowboys have had the same general manager for 30 years, and I don't see a lot of success
there. There is a point where you really should make a change. That is true.
It's wild, though. I mean, we're talking about Schilty, and again, he's going to get, what, two more years on top of this year, so three more years.
Well, I want to talk, though, and we can do this in our next segment as well, about anything you think Mike Schilt should change in his second season. I mean, I think any good manager evaluates what went correctly and what could have been improved on and then makes adjustments when they come back for a second season and want to discuss, like, where would you like Mike Schilt to perhaps pivot in year number two? I mean, probably on the margins. It's not huge changes, but there's always small things that you can do differently. So we'll talk about the Mike Schilt contract extension coming up in our next segment and continue our discussion of the general manager's meetings. Some additional news that came out yesterday that is of relevance to this program that we will talk about. Take on Woods at 7:10, an opportunity again to win tickets to comedian Tom Segura this Friday at Pechanga Arena as you battle Woods in our daily musical trivia competition. At 7:20, don't do this. And then 7:35, it's become an annual tradition. One of my favorites, actually, just kind of organically every single year when college basketball season gets underway and the Aztecs play their first game, we talk with the legend himself, and Steve Fisher will be back on the program this morning at 7:35 to talk about the program that he built and turned over to Brian Dutcher that has brought a lot of happiness into the lives of basketball fans in San Diego in the last couple of decades.
Always a pleasure to talk to the great Coach Fisher. Just a gem of a human being.
He's a wise man.
Yeah,
he's a measured man.
Yeah.
And I think, on a day like this, we could use Steve Fisher wisdom and get us ready for college basketball season. So looking forward to that at 7:35. We'll have some more Padres talk in our 8 o'clock hour. Rindle Report at 9 o'clock. And then turn things over to Annie and Elston coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. So hopefully should be a good show. And definitely looking forward to Coach Fisher joining us coming up at 7:35.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, why don't we just let's take a timeout. When we'll come back, we will start the discussion of Mike Schilt's contract extension. Not a surprise, if you've been paying attention, something that was to be expected, and now it is truly Mike Schilt's team going forward. There's no, hey, you know, two-year short contract. There's no lame duck season going into the last year of his deal. He can come back knowing, all right, I am molding this organization. What is he going to do with that? We will talk about it coming up with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Mike Schilt, two-year contract extension. Job well done. When you go from 82 wins to 93 wins, despite a payroll that's less than, almost $100 million less than it was the year before. We talked yesterday about how A.J. Preller was robbed of the Executive of the Year award. I'm still convinced of that. He did a phenomenal job in remaking the roster. But, you know, a lot of the credit also goes to Mike Schilt, who was handed that roster with less resources and made the most out of it this last season. And that's what you're ultimately hoping to get from a manager, Woods, isn't it? You just want them to get the most out of whatever they're handed. And if they do that, then they're doing their job effectively.
What would be a bigger snub in your mind? AJ Preller not winning Executive of the Year, which we already know happened, or Mike Schilt not winning Manager of the Year?
I think AJ is going to be the biggest snub of the offseason.
I think it's the bigger snub, but I thought you were...
Honestly, even if Jackson Merrill doesn't win the Rookie of the Year, I still think AJ is a bigger snub than Jackson Merrill.
I love Paul Skeens.
Paul Skeens.
I do love Paul Skeens.
Both would be snubs, but I think I just don't see the argument. Craig went through it in his show yesterday. Went through the good things that Milwaukee's Matt Arnold did, you know, three or four good moves, and then went through the list of like 15 things that AJ had to do to put together the team. It's like I don't understand how anyone could have, other than just personal bias against AJ, could have made that decision that he was not the Executive of the Year. I think it should have been unanimous. And the fact that at least 16 other organizations voted against him is pretty petty, actually, in my mind, that they didn't pick AJ. But I think Mike Schilt has a good argument for Manager of the Year, and he will be one of the guys who is in the mix for the awards when they announce them coming up here in a few days.
Yeah, man. I mean, like you said, 93 wins in a year that didn't have much promise. It didn't show much promise at the beginning of the season. Average season, maybe back into the playoffs. But no, man, the way that they played, especially in the second half, was pretty admirable. The other thing that kind of sticks out to me about Schilty is that, honestly, like, you hear stuff from managers a lot, and it's sometimes you're like, oh, cool, manager speak. When this dude told us, we're fine now, we're going to get better as the year goes on, it actually happened. So it was a little bit jarring to see it actually play out that way.
Every manager who ever had a team in the first half of the season that maybe didn't perform the way they thought they would has said that those exact words.
Yeah.
Just have in some form. Yeah, we just haven't played our best baseball.
Haven't played our best baseball yet.
Whatever you want to say.
Schilt told us in spring training, you're going to see us start one way and you're going to see us finish another way. Obviously, the end, the very end, was not our favorite thing. And I know it wasn't Mike Schilt's favorite thing either, the way that the season ended. 24 scoreless innings. That's an anomaly, though, for the San Diego Padres. And it's unfortunate that that anomaly reared its ugly head when it did. But it was unquestionably an anomaly.
Yeah,
and I can live with that a little bit.
Can reasonably say, well, Mike Schilt should have seen that coming.
Correct.
The warning signs were on the wall that his team was about to stop scoring
hitting entirely.
Yeah. No, they weren't.
They weren't.
There was no warning signs at all. No one could have anticipated that. So, you know, you definitely give him a pass for how the season ended.
You know, and I saw throughout the season, if there were any criticisms of Mike Schilt, I saw plenty of criticisms of Mike Schilt, but none of them were ones that I saw and went, that's uncommon. Like, I saw criticisms of how Dave Roberts managed his bullpen. I saw criticisms of how Torey Lovullo managed his, how Carlos Mendoza managed his, how Aaron Boone managed his. That is just your standard Twitter complaint. It happens every single year. It's going to happen next year. If you're a baseball fan, it's just one of those things you have to deal with. The guy in Spring Valley that, you know, works at a restaurant knows more about managing a bullpen than part of being a baseball fan. I feel it sometimes. I'm like, how do you do that there? We've all done it, second-guessing the bullpen moves. So when you asked earlier, Benny, like, what are some things I would like to see Mike Schilt, you know, work on with the team? Honestly, I don't know, because I don't know what the team looks like here. I don't know what it's going to look like spring training.
Well,
I have no idea.
No, that is a valid question. But my question is more, what changes with Mike Schilt going forward? Not necessarily what he needs to work on with the team, but like Mike Schilt personally as manager, does he change at all knowing he has more security coming back? I think undoubtedly the answer to that question is yes, and we will get into it right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Spent a few moments praising continuity earlier this hour, but continuity cannot also mean stagnation. You cannot let continuity turn into complacency, or you are doomed to, you know, slowly erode and fall apart. And
I don't get the sense that he's that way.
I don't get the sense at all. But every, as you said, Woods, every year is different, which means it requires a manager to have enough flexibility to go forward to know I may need to handle a different team in a slightly different way. And I think the biggest change for Mike Schilt in 2025 compared to 2024 is he's not coming in and trying to change a culture. He now has a team that should already be coming into spring training. Whatever changes are made, and there will be obviously roster changes, you are coming back with a 93-win team, a lot of those same players who have already bought into your philosophies and the way you do things. I think the Padres need to take advantage of that in 2025 and get off to a much faster start than they did last season. I loved, obviously, you know, we're going to get better as the series goes on, game goes on, season goes on. It was a great philosophy, and you should never give that up.
You're saying that that needs to not be the case now.
I'm not saying it doesn't need to be the case, but I think you have an advantage over other teams that maybe, you know, have more new pieces in the offseason. They're trying to rebuild cultures. You need to go out in the first couple of months of the season and just pick up where you left off. Not the last 24 innings, but the second half of the season when you had the best record in baseball, you need to now carry that in. You need to be hitting opening day kind of already at a full sprint and take advantage of that advantage, you know, and not fall, you know, 8 games behind the Dodgers and then having to, you know, climb your way back in the second half of the season.
Again,
you need to start a little bit faster this year.
I mean, yes, it would be nice to go into the All-Star break not at 500, right?
It
would be nice to be up a few, about 6, 7, 8, whatever. Doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. All of those teams that came out gangbusters, yeah, one of them ended up in the World Series in the New York Yankees, but by the skin of their teeth. The Dodgers ended up, they were just pretty much gangbusters all year, save one little stretch in August, I think. But they were going to roll out of bed, Benny, and win the division. I think everybody felt that. Next year, they're going to be better. You know, I just, the hot start in baseball means nothing. The Phillies were like, I looked at the Phillies and went, if I had $50,000, I'd put it on them here on June 1st to win the World Series in a sweep.
I get what you're saying. But that shouldn't mean you have to, like, that seems like a knee-jerk reaction.
We have to jump out. We got to have a sense of urgency. I really don't. Is it important to have a sense of urgency in the season? Sure, always. You're a professional athlete. But I'm not going to lose my one thing I learned from this year, I'm not going to lose my mind if they're 500 at the break. I'm not.
I get what you're saying, but at the same time, the Padres were, 50-49 at the All-Star break this season? Had they been 53-46...
They could have won the division.
They could have won the division.
Correct.
And, you know, that first round bye, home field advantage, it's a, like we said, it's a better path to the World Series. It finally played out this year where teams that actually got a bye and had home field advantage made it all the way to the World Series, and that was good. That was absolutely a good thing. Padres, you know, Joe Musgrove had to pitch in the wild card series. That's where his elbow gave out.
Yeah.
They could have had him potentially in the division series. I don't know, you know, I'm not saying
how it would have worked or not,
but you always would like to try to win your division, get home field advantage, and to do that, you can't play 500 ball for 3 months in the year to start the season.
Well, let me ask you this, and it may be a tougher question to answer, but is winning the division, should winning the division here become something that this team really strives and puts all its eggs into that basket to do because of all of the benefits that you just mentioned? But I'm telling you, like, I don't want to say already here on November 6th, going for the division in the West is a bit of a fool's errand, but I'm not blind. I see the reports. Roky Sasaki will be posted. He will be a Dodger. That means they have a rotation of Yamamoto, Shohei Ohtani, Roky Sasaki, Dustin May, Tyler Glasnow, Clayton Kershaw, maybe Walker Buehler's back, and on and on and on and on.
Tony Gonsolin coming back.
On we go. Is that a fool's errand? Or but you also don't want to go into the season going, well, we can't win the division.
Yeah,
we're out.
Well, no,
you know what I'm saying?
That's why. If you go for the division and fall short and win the wild card, it's fine. It's not. That's not the end of the world. If you go for the wild card and fall short and miss the playoffs, now that is where you have failed in your mission on a season.
AZ Jimmy actually just figured it out, and I'm going to present this to Mike Schilt the next time I talk to him. Forget about the Dodgers, bro. Forget about them. Play them as tough as you did this year, you'll be in good shape. Beat the effing Rockies. Make it your mission to destroy them. Remember the video game Mortal Kombat where you rip the guy's head off and pull his spine out? Do that to the Rockies.
Fatality.
Make sure that when you play the Rockies, you bring your best. Make sure those guys look across the field. They don't see purple and silver. They see Dodger blue. Play the Rockies like you played the Dodgers.
Well,
and you're going to be in great shape.
When did the Padres play the Rockies most of their games? Early in that season when they were still figuring things out. Don't take the time to figure things out and get going against teams like the Rockies early in the year.
Right. Give me the spine. Pull it out by the spine.
I always played Sub-Zero where you'd freeze
them, and then could break
turn them into a big, ice shards at the end. That was the one I went with.
What a game. What a game Mortal Kombat was. My word. Like, handle business against those teams. Now, the funny thing is about last season, bro, we would play a mediocre team, and we're sweating bullets. We're like, oh, my God, the Tigers, the Pirates, they took us to the, we'd go and play a really good, competent team, and it was like we were the best team ever. So maybe that's something of, hey, I don't know if it's a mental letdown, whatever. We have to literally have that faceless opponent, the faceless ones. Don't look at their record. Don't worry about their record. Take the spine from everyone that you can. It doesn't matter their record, because we saw, like, we helped get Detroit into the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like that when I was at that game when they hit that walk off or that when they hit the grand slam off of Suarez, like that propelled them. So don't take any opponents lightly. Play better against the crappier opponents, but be mindful. You can't give those games away to the Colorado Rockies. You just can't.
Now, do you think we're talking about the 2-year extension for Padres manager Mike Schilt? Do you think with some security, which he never really had, a 2-year deal is not a lot of security.
No.
Do you think his personality changes at all going forward? And by that, you know, he was a the relentless positivity, the refusal to acknowledge things that had gone wrong. I always thought part of that is, hey, I may only be here for a little bit. I'm gonna put the best spin on this possible while I'm here. When you have a little more security, for some managers, at least, it frees them up a little bit to be a little more critical of things that go on in their own organization. Do you expect to see that? Do you want to see that from Mike Schilt? Or do you want him to be who he was last year and just Mr., hey, I think everything's going really well right now, and we're not going to change the attitude that made us successful this past season?
It's an interesting question, and you're asking, it's a loaded question.
It is.
It's very loaded. Do I want to have a conversation with Schilt where I say, hey, so what happened there in the sixth? And he says, yeah, total brain lapse on so-and-so.
Other managers do that.
Dave Roberts did it.
It's not the end of the world.
Dave Roberts did it to Shohei Ohtani in the playoffs. He said, yeah, he had a brain meltdown, and he didn't score from third on that ground ball to short when he should have. He didn't get a good jump, and he just kind of had a little brain fart. It's not the end of the world. Shohei didn't sulk into the corner, and here's the thing. It's a loaded question because, yeah, man, I'd like to have better conversations with Schilt than, hey, what are you talking about, cuz? I'd like to have better conversations, but it's also not about me. I don't really care. If the players like you and they want to play hard for you, that's all I care about at the end of the day is dubs. That's it.
Yeah.
You guys know that. All I care about is dubs. It's not about my personal opinion or my personal relationship with the skipper. Do I think he could have been more honest in his assessment at times? Yeah. But who's to say he wasn't? Who's to say he wasn't when the door shut? Kimmy, you can't do that. You don't need to be at third there, man. Come on. I've heard that he was. I've heard that he was tougher on the players with the doors closed, which, by the way, great. I don't need to be a party to it, and I don't need to be privy to that information. If he wants to share it, he can.
A lot of those examples, like we all remember some of those early press conferences after games,
yeah,
where he would be questioned.
Well, he'd be mad about an innocuous phrase like a roller coaster.
Right, and he would react a certain way, and we'd go, what the hell? What?
What? Yeah.
And then I felt that way until I didn't. Until I didn't, which was probably sometime in June.
Yeah.
Halfway through the season,
when
I go,
like, I'm over it.
It's not even that. It's not even that I was over it. It's that I go, this is just who he is.
This is what he is.
So he's not going to deter from this path that he's on. And this is who he is.
That's who he is.
This is how he's wired.
Yeah.
This is how he manages. And we ride.
And I think I'm okay with that. I really do. And I don't think anything's going to change. And I don't really necessarily think he should.
Can he and AJ Preller continue to coexist as well as they did in the first season?
I think in any relationship, you know, it seems like, and Dennis Lynn talked about it in his piece when he wrote about the extension, he said he's pretty much been the best that AJ's had so far at communication with one another. So that's good. You want that. You want them on the same page. But yeah, as far as like the relentless positivity, I know fans don't like it. You know, I don't necessarily always like it either. Toxically positive. You know, I don't, you know, sometimes I want to hear, I'm a big fan of like, you know, sometimes showing a little emotion, I think you can get your players fired up, but he certainly knows a lot more about managing those guys than any of us do. And
to your previous point, though, for all we know, he wasn't that relentless positivity when it mattered.
I mean, I talked to probably half a dozen players off the record about Schulte, and I'll tell you, again, off the record, like, hey, what's it? Is it good? It's great. It's great. We love him. Best it's ever been. Yeah. I mean, again,
Guys that have been here for more than 6 months.
Who am I to say that he's doing it the wrong way? Again, this is off the record. How's everything? It's good. He's great. Fantastic, man. Schulte's the best. Okay, great. Like, that's all. If you're happy, then I'm happy.
It is.
Go out and win some games.
It's different than Bob Melvin. Even after the Padres had their good first season, if you really knew, like, now what we know that we do now that we didn't know then.
Yeah.
There was already problems. They just were covered up because of winning. I don't get the sense that winning covered up any problems this year. I think that they won because there really weren't that many problems.
I think it was a better, I mean, you could see it. You know, we have the privilege of being able to go into the locker room pregame and stuff. And the vibe from Melvin days and Schulte days was, I mean, it was palpable. Like you could see it, and that's good. That's what you want. You want your guys loose, having fun, being together. And I hope that continues because, you know, win or lose the World Series next year, it sure was a fun season to cover. I mean, it really was. It was a really, really fun season to cover. No BS leaking out, no drama. Really, it was really spectacular. Don't you agree?
I do. I want them to show up in 2025, whether it's true or not, whether they're being picked to win the division or go to the playoffs. I want them to show up like they're the team to beat.
100%.
Next year.
100%.
They're not the underdogs anymore.
Yep.
Go, and you've already got the swagger,
yep,
but I want to see that that confidence that, you know, every day, everyone's trying to gun for us, but we're, you know, like you also saw with the Yankees and, you know, those type of teams. I know they don't have the rings to back it up yet, but I always think that's a good attitude to come at the game like, hey, you know, this is our game. We're gonna take it to you.
No doubt. We can talk more about this too.
Absolutely. A little news featuring another manager that has been close to the program as well. We'll get to that and take on Woods coming up. Hour number two. Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.